Hello and welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host Jim.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. And do you get that a lot?
No.
The Mickey Dolan thing?
Why would I get that?
No, not you. Mickey Dolan.
Oh, God.
I did as a kid. But.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm glad I could bring that back.
That is pretty close. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, well, I met him once, actually.
and a hotel that I managed.
Oh. Okay. Go ahead.
So we have something a little special this week. He's been on the last two shows, and that was kind of a trial run. We were testing him. Yeah, we were testing him to make sure he was up to snuff.
This is beta 2.
He's gone from the alpha to the beta.
Huntar, his final release.
Next is the gamma.
Next week we release Huntar the Barbarian.
Yeah.
And
joining us as the third co-host, Hunter Mullins. Welcome, Hunter.
What's going on?
So
I feel
folks,
like I should have like a Muppet intro, like it's time to put on makeup.
Jim could do that in post production.
Oh God, I love Beaker. That was my favorite Muppet.
Beaker is the best.
Yes.
So we're really excited to have Hunter. It's been Jim and I for a long time, and we love each other, but, you know, it's good to mix things up once in a while, because,
yeah,
you know.
That's what I was thinking, so I was like, hey, how about a three-way? And Brian was thinking, yeah, because it's that
podcast
time.
Podcast at Troy.
It's the trifecta.
So, we have a guest this week, and we're talking about a game. It's called Space Warfare Infinite, and joining us is the creator of the game, Mike Dolan. Welcome,
Hello.
Mike.
Hi, right, thanks for having me on the show. It's awesome to be here.
Well, it's awesome to have you. We've been toying with this game since you sent us the build a couple days ago, and this is it's kind of fascinating. So before I start playing it and get distracted with that. Because the other two are playing it, and they're distracted with it.
I'm totally distracted. I'm
having distractions.
I want to ask you, tell us about give us first the elevator pitch of the game for people who don't know it, and then if you could throw us, like, how the game began, like, what was the inspiration, all that stuff.
Okay. So I guess it's kind of set up as just, like, to start, it's going to be a way for players to kind of create all the different types of space battles that they've, you know, seen on TV or in the movies, and just like live them out, like jump right into a ship and, you know, create giant explosions and fight giant capital ships, things like that. Right. But there's a lot going on. So there's going to be a campaign mode with a full story. I'm trying to create like a storytelling mechanism. So I want to have my own story, like science fiction story. And then also allow the players to kind of create their own thing, or just jump right in and have a big space battle.
Right, and that campaign, you're planning on making that main campaign a dynamic campaign?
That's right. Yeah, I want to have branching, like, you know, whether you win or lose, as long as you don't get completely destroyed. you know, it will move on depending on, you know, if you lose major points, plot points, and things like that. Like the campaign will change. Just like in, you know, Wing Commander or Free Space. So,
I love that idea, because I'm a fan of anything with a dynamic campaign. There aren't enough of those in space games.
For sure. Yeah, I just think you know, with a game like this where you can switch between ships. So I want to have a main character, but at the same time I want to be able to progress the player through the story of like a space war. So.
Right.
You know, to be able to kind of just jump from one person to another if you know, lose a certain character or something like that, and see the war either progress in a good way or a bad way, you can still see it out, you know, see what happens next and stuff. So I think that's important.
Right.
And, you know, if you're just interested in watching giant space battles, then sometimes it doesn't matter whether you're winning or losing. So.
Right. Now, so far I've been playing with the mouse. I tried it with a gamepad. It didn't really like the gamepad yet, but that you are planning to add that sort of thing, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, and I have been doing some joystick stuff, but right now it's really keyboard and mouse. Gamepad would be nice to get in the future as well. And I mean, Unity lets you do that. I don't have a gamepad yet, so I need to get one to work with.
Right. And you just ported this. I think I saw on your blog you just ported this to Unity 5.
I did, yeah. So, I've been a Unity Pro subscriber for a while, and just kind of getting all those extra features that they just kind of gave out for free for Unity 5. But I wanted to have kind of the most stable build, so I was waiting for Unity 5 to really come out, and I ported the game over right before they launched the official release. So it was a little bit of a headache for a week, and I'm not sure if I really needed to go through it. But
did you start it in Unity 5, or did you start in 4 and then migrate?
I migrated. Yeah, I started in Unity 4.
So how much pain is that to migrate from 4 to 5?
It was a bit of a pain for me. Some of the programming components kind of got not lost, but like a lot of the connections and things like that. A lot of the game is built component based because that's kind of how Unity works. So it's plug and play. Like I'll build a missile launcher and I'll drop it onto the ship and that will make it work, you know? Hmm. So like your turret, you can drop that turret on anything and it will work. So when I ported over to a new version, just the conversion, I guess, to Unity 5, like broke a lot of connections. So I spent like a week and a half trying to make everything back to normal. But in some ways, I cleaned up the code, and Unity 5 is a lot faster. So.
Well, did they make fundamental changes to the way that Unity works behind the curtain, or what really went on between 4 and 5? Because the stuff that we're doing, we're still back in like 3.5 or something. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and it is. I mean, if you're like far enough along, it might it might be too much trouble to jump to the next one.
Oh yeah, it ain't happening. That's for sure. But the one thing that we ran into is like 3.5 had like a weird multi-threading thing. If you had the rendering multi-thread, then you'd get DirectX. It's like you lost the DirectX handle and it crashes out to desktop and stuff. So we had to kill off multi-threading. And it's not bad because, I mean, God, our game will run on a calculator, but. You know, it's just like I started researching that error, and it was, you know, the forums were like rife with it, and it's like, oh, well, that's pretty common then. So it's like from 3 to 4, I couldn't imagine. So then like from 3 to 5 is like, oh God, no. And
right.
You know, so because it's finally stable and I'm not touching it.
I think I had some stuff right before they went live. There was a couple kind of errors that just would not let my game compile. And I had been running it and just testing, you know, in the editor mode for a long time and hadn't really been doing builds, and which is probably a bad programmer practice. But since I'm not passing it out that much to everybody, I could get away with just using the editor. And then when I tried to build it, it just hung every time I pressed play. So I actually took it down to a blank scene in Unity 5 and re-imported everything like piece by piece.
Oh wow!
To get it to work again, partly because I had some third party assets that I ended up just getting rid of to make it work. So maybe one day I'll put them back in. But it's if you're using a lot of stuff like that, I see Brian's using the battle editor. let's play Crash the Game.
Well, Headclot. No, Mr. Ben, excuse me, Mr. Benin in the chat recommended I try the battle editor.
Yeah.
So I'm just going nuts.
I think Ben did something similar in Game Club the other day.
Oh, that's not what I meant to do.
Jumped as much stuff. So one thing to note about the battle editor is it's it might be hard to read. I like that the resolution's working on this, so that's good. It's 50 kilometers from the center to the edge.
Oh.
On all sides. So you have a very, very spread out battle. So you're going to have to use your afterburner, which is tab, to get probably to shoot anything. But
So is it like 50 kilometers and do you hit like the edge of the scene and like crash into the barrier between, you know, and like God's on the other side?
Yeah. No, not right now. I thought about doing something where you're just like maybe you've escaped the system and now your ship's getting eaten up by radiation or something, but I didn't put anything like that in yet. It's really just arbitrary. I didn't want to get float point errors past like 100,000 kilometers or something like that. So I just put it at 50. That way, if you're fighting something at 50 kilometers, missiles don't start missing and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So like if the battle were to drift out, can you just recenter the player and everything, like in a blink, set them back to the center coordinates, or do you,
That's not implemented at the moment.
So I guess you anchor it, like you stick a capital ship or a base there or something, and then it's like, this is the center of the fight.
Yeah, it's kind of like where the things are, unless the AI gets really haywire, or the player decides to take a journey. It won't really, the battles usually stay in compact areas. I made the battle that big, though, or at least the map, because this is basically representative of a sector. So in the future, the game is going to have different systems, and each system is going to have areas that are going to be sectors and where you can kind of skip between. So like, in system fast travel, and then there'll be jump points to go to other systems. So you'll be within one star system and there'll be different like maps like this, like 50 by 50 kilometer areas where things will happen. So that's what this represents right now. So really, if you go to the edge of the screen, maybe you lock onto a nav point and hit skip and you jump to the next nav point in the system itself. And then you'll be in a new, that's kind of my version of recentering at the moment. So.
Okay. Let's see. So now I put the ships a lot closer together.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah. And then did you put a player in there somewhere?
Yeah, I thought I did.
Okay. It's hard to tell. That's okay. Just hit it and see what happens.
Now, one thing I want to ask about is the targeting, because I'm finding it hard to know where anybody is.
So press E right now, and that will allow you to start cycling through, guys.
I see.
So right now it's targeting your turrets of a capital ship, and that's something I'm gonna fix eventually. Right now you can target the components of what's there, but it's kind of annoying for when you're trying to find.
Oh, wow. I got to make them even closer. All right. Hang on. Got to put stuff even closer together. Fine.
Or just go really fast towards it and you'll see.
No one got time for that.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to hit shift every now and then for some reason to go faster. My brain is just like in first person shooter mode.
Yeah. And the controls are very first person shooter. So, tab is the. Is the faster shift does something else, which is maybe a bad idea.
I figured it out now, but it was just it was really funny. I was like, why am I going in circles?
So shift switches to kind of the cap ship. It's kind of experimental mode. If you control a cap ship, it's kind of annoying to use the mouse to move them around. So that kind of makes the WASD rotate in the four directions rather than using the mouse look.
That makes sense.
And then, because when you're on the capital ship, you want to use the orbit mouse to look around it so you can kind of get a better idea of what's around you. So the mouse is kind of not good for steering a cap ship. But, yeah, I tried to make it, I don't know, the controls are a bit first-person shooter. I think a lot of my video game playing in the past has been first-person shooter type stuff. So... and I just got used to the kind of kinetic feel of that, I guess.
Well, that'll make this a little more accessible, probably to some folks.
Yeah, it's. I try to make it a little bit more action-oriented than just sim, I guess. So,
which is fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, your student Ben told me to put everything like a millimeter apart.
Right.
So that's what I did. Thank you, Ben. And
and then you have your player ship in there somewhere? Or?
Yeah, I did add a player. So
okay.
Is everybody just a little... really close together in like a line. So everyone should be like right. Oh, God. And I'm already getting crazy ass shot at. There we go.
Sometimes it's good to start farther away.
Oh, God. Missiles. Ah. Okay. There we go.
You should have your gym turret. Should protect you.
Is that what you're going to call it now, the gym turret?
That's what the component is called in the game.
The gym will be with you always.
Always. Oh, God, missiles.
You should actually rename it to the pickle cannon and have it fire pickles because...
Anything goes,
That's right.
So is it common for capital ships to ram each other?
At the moment, they do, especially with the battle editor right now because the they're all starting on the same plane.
Because
so,
these capital ships are doing nothing but colliding with each other.
Well, it's
pretty epic, though, to be honest with you.
They're running the YOLO AI.
And they've got, like, yeah, the AI is for the cap ship.
Well, this is pre-alpha. That's what's
happening. No, I'm saying it's cool. I like it.
Also, they do have their biggest guns on the front, so if they just ram each other and fire point blank, they...
The fighters can't do the same thing, I've noticed.
Well, the fighters have a little bit more going on. They do a bunch of different maneuvers and stuff, but they do come straight at you when they want to hit you with the machine gun. So.
Yeah, the fighters are definitely kicking my ass right
Whoa,
now.
Oh, damn! Damn! Damn!
And, you know that, if you use the one key, that will change your guns from machine gun to other things.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
There's a couple. Yeah.
I love the beam guns.
Those
are my
yeah.
favorites. Those
so
are my
I noticed
favorite.
That seems like the default in Elite. Is that right? Everything's
no, it doesn't have to be. Some okay. people like them because they have a really nice sizzle effect on an enemy's hull. Oh, right. I died.
These ones do too if you hit them right. So they're pretty high damage compared to everything else. But.
Yeah, they are.
Died.
The machine gun though fires so fast that if you can score a lot of direct hits,
oh,
that will.
Oh, I think I'm in control of a. Am I in control of a cap ship right now?
If you press, yeah, you probably. If you press six, you'll.
I did press six.
You'll switch to different ships. So if you're inside a cap ship, you want to zoom out. So hold down the center mouse button and then press X.
X.
Yeah, X should do it. If you hold down the center mouse and press X, should zoom you out.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Press shift first, maybe? Or are you, what's the, I can't see you right now. It looks like you're directly behind. Press F2.
Nope, not doing nothing.
And then if you press F2, it should switch you to a orbit view. So if you hold down the middle mouse button, you can rotate around the cap ship.
Nope.
Oh, there you go.
You're getting blasted. I can see you now.
That is not happening. Yeah, I'm getting seriously.
Yeah, you're. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to be able to help you before you explode.
I'm trying to switch to different ships here, and
if you press six, you should jump to another ship.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
At least that, or I'm jumping to other. No, I'm jumping to another ship. That's right. Jumping to other cap ships, though.
Yeah, well, you have I think you put in like a whole slew of cap ships, so
yeah,
you might need to jump between. Oh, I see you now. You're flipping.
So,
yeah.
So my one, like Hunter's beaten the shift key, and I am feeling it with like the A and D keys, where I want to side slip.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And, yeah, they are kind of more of a their role.
Yeah.
So.
Because it's like I don't know, maybe it's too much Elite. I think it's what's the deal.
Yeah.
It's like I'm headed at something and I just want to side slip so I don't run into it and I end up rolling and then bashing into it. So
that is a downside of playing too much Elite. You play something else and you're like, why isn't this flying like Elite?
Yeah, it's
no one's fault.
And if I play too much of Space Warfare and I get confused with other games as well. So
that's what you should be doing.
So the F2 didn't work for you. I don't know why.
No.
Because that's, it should, when you switch to the cap ship, it should automatically put you.
Oh, there it goes. I did it. There it goes. Ah, all right. Wow, this thing turns like a pig. Oh. Do your turrets fire automatically when you're in charge of a cap ship?
Yeah, they do. So right now they're set up to,
there they go.
To, they're just run by the AI. Eventually I want to have it so that you can, tell the turrets what to shoot at and stuff like that. So, yeah, the cap ship controls are not the best. It looks like you've zoomed out from my camera view now.
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
Eat it. Eat it. Eat it, other cap ship. I see you. I see you right there. Eat my beams. Eat my beams.
So, yeah, the beam is the secondary weapon, and then you've got a plasma cannon type thing for the...
And we rammed. We're kissing cousins. Boom! Oh, I gotta say, I do love how cap ships blow up in this game.
So what is the range on lasers? Like, they just fly out forever? Or do you disappear
them? No, they
them?
Don't. They definitely disappear after a while. So if I have to do my math calculation, they fly like 3,000 meters per second or something like that. I don't know, something crazy.
Okay, well, I saw it like at the point where I start getting particle effects off the cap ship. So I guess that's about where it is. So.
Yeah, if you can if you can see them in visual range, you can probably hit them. Mm. And then with the beam weapon is definitely shorter range. The machine gun is pretty long range because it flies so fast. And then missiles have a limited amount of time too that they fly through.
Yeah. So what do missiles do? They just lock on the first thing they see.
Yeah. Right now, I'm going to put in different types, but right now it's kind of like Heatseeker essentially. And, eventually we'll do kind of like the aspect missiles in Free Space 2. So you'll have like more of a cool lock on effect where you have to hold it in front of you for a little while. And then, and there'll be ways to, divert those missiles and things like that too. So right now that's not really built into the game yet, but
yeah,
I gotta say, I love how, different factions have different colored streams behind them, so you could easily see at a glance, mm-hmm. Oh, that's a bad guy right there. I should shoot at them.
Right, yeah. And eventually, the art right now is just really my programmer art. So
you know, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah.
So what
it says, pre-alpha, folks.
What did you do the 3D modeling in? Are you, like, got some Maya going on here or what?
I'm using a Blender.
Oh, okay.
So, because... Maya's not free, right? That's something you gotta pay for.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, so I'm using Blender, which has every feature known to man, but it's very difficult, I feel, to kind of learn. So I'm still learning it. And the control scheme is different than Unity, so switching back and forth is kind of it takes a shift in gears for your brain.
Yeah, because I had a thing, it was just an art project that I did, and I had to pull an asset out of the game. To, you know, a ship to take a photo of it, and we're composing the box art. So I've never opened Maya before, right? So I talked to our artists and they're like, yeah, we use Maya. So, but you can download like the free trial for 30 days, right? And that'll be enough. Okay. So I download this thing and I import the model in it, and then the interface comes up and it's like sitting in the cockpit of a 747 and you have no idea what the hell you're looking at. And it's just like, oh God, it's knobs. Yeah, it was just like too many buttons.
Yeah.
You know what, Jim? Want to hear something funny? I actually flew a real 747 sim once.
Really?
And it is pretty much exactly like how you just described.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just rows and rows of knobs and buttons.
Yeah, it's like you put me in a Cessna or something, I'll be all right. But no, not like some big jumbo crap. So.
What was you had a game on here, I don't know which one, but it was a guy that was making like a super realistic space sim with every button known to man. Rogue System. Yeah. Yes.
Tune in next week.
No, 2 weeks.
two weeks.
We're having him back in 2 weeks. He was our first guest, actually.
Yeah.
And
pretty awesome. Yeah.
Isn't his name Mike also? No, is he Paul?
Paul.
Fuck, I can't remember.
Mike. Paul. Paul Mike.
Shit. Yeah. I'm terrible. I'm a terrible person.
Steve.
So one thing I wanted to ask about, I don't want to be critical, but I'm hoping this comes off as positive criticism that I hope will improve the game.
Sure.
Targeting is a bit funky right now.
Yeah.
Like right now the radar is a little confusing to me. And when I hit the closest target, it's like not immediately evident where I'm supposed to go. Like I looking at the edges of the screen and I can't see like where I'm supposed to go.
So let me ask you, how would you do the radar? Would you rip off Wing Commander or TIE Fighter or Elite?
Free Space.
What?
Free Space.
It didn't even have radar. It was just like it was like arrows on the edge of the screen, wasn't it?
But it also had radar.
Oh.
And arrows in the edge of the screen. It had both. That's why it's so awesome.
Like, yeah, it had. Yeah,
I haven't played it in a while.
So the I think one of my problems is the radar or the targeting indicator is. Gets really small depending on how far away it is, I think. So
it is
on the edge of the screen a lot of the time, but it's sometimes really hard to pick out, especially if the background is too washed out or something. So like I can't even tell you're locked on a turret right now. But I don't know. Can you see like certain boxes going around the sides of the screen sometimes?
Sometimes.
Yeah, not right now because you're locked on a turret, I think. But if you're locked on a
sometimes.
Yeah. So that's something I can prove. I've seen some people put it put like an indicator arrow right next to your crosshair too.
Yeah, that'll probably work.
Kind of indicate like, oh, they're off to the right or off to the left.
Yeah, that's really all I need is an arrow. You know.
Yeah, I know. I definitely have been trying to get that situational awareness, because if you don't know where they're at and they start hitting you, you're dead in a few seconds.
Yeah, because this game is crazy.
Yeah, and I want it to be, you know, when you're in a fighter, for it to be punishing. So
it is punishing.
It's
but
very
I love
punishing.
It.
It's very punishing. Yeah. That's how it should be. You know, you're a dinky little fighter.
Yeah.
Oh, just died. Okay.
And we do have different types of radar right now. So there's the visual radar, which you can see better if you're in an asteroid field. If your battle's in an asteroid field. It kind of
okay.
it has all the asteroids in your visual, so all of your enemies kind of blend in with on the visual scanner. So I figure at some point in the campaign you'll start off just with a visual, and you'll have to pick out moving targets and stuff like that over the radar. And there's a heat sensor, so if you're running cold, you might not be picked up by that, or if the enemy's running cold, they might not be able to be picked up by that. And then there's a electromagnetic thing. So a lot of that stuff hasn't quite been implemented yet in terms of like what it's supposed to do, but it's kind of there, and you know, for the future. So yeah.
So I'm making a battle with asteroids just because you mentioned it.
Yeah, you don't even need that many asteroids actually, but that's okay.
Whatever. I can add that many asteroids, so I'm gonna do it.
I forget. Yeah, I know. I'll let you do whatever you want to do, man. But
which is nice.
Sometimes
when
I get oh, sorry.
So go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, I feel like sometimes when you get in these one-on-ones with these other fighters, it's like a space dance.
Yeah.
Like you're kind of...
That's a really good way to put it.
It's kind of like, I don't know if you ever saw Battlestar Galactica, where they're like the Pegasus and the Galactica were going at it, and like all the Vipers were kind of like in unison with each other, like on a standoff. I feel like that's what's going on. Except for we're shooting at each other in this game.
Right. Well,
okay, so, oh, I see visual, heat signature, yeah. EM. Oh, God.
So, yeah, the visual, it's all blue. And then, you have to kind of pick out. But, yeah, of course, the smart or the heat or whatever will give you a better. But, I mean, the smart's like the magic radar, right? So that's the one that will tell you where everyone is.
Ah, good. That's all I need. So
yeah, it's one all the players like, but you know, if you want to try to make it harder or more realistic or something,
that's good. It's always good to give the player options. Now, your student Ben, I believe that's his name, reminded me to ask about the origin of the game. I did ask, but we kind of got sidetracked. So let's go back to that.
Okay.
How did this come about?
So I one funny thing is the sound effect for the missiles.
Uh-huh.
Right now is the same sound effect that we used in one of the original kind of versions of the game, I guess. I've been making space wars or space warfare games for the last couple of years, just like different styles of it, I guess.
I saw on your site there are some web-based, browser-based space games.
Right, so there's a browser-based one that I wrote in JavaScript, it's like an old style arcade sort of. Galaga, but in an arena, I guess. And you just play through levels, and there's asteroids and there's ships and stuff like that, and you just fly around, and it's a little bit more new in physics, 2D, I guess. So you slide around a lot, and so it started off there as a game, but you know, as probably a lot of game makers or people who watch too much Battlestar Galactica want to make a big 3D dogfighting game, so it slowly morphed into more and more graphically intense stuff. So I ended up switching to a JavaScript 3D engine, JS 3JS, it's called, and it's a WebGL platform. Right. And I started working with that and making giant 2D battles on a 3D background, but I started to get really bad frame rates in a web browser. Right. And that's when I switched to Unity and started this kind of version of the game. So I don't know if that answers what Ben was talking about or what, but the sound effect that Ben made in BFXR is the missile launch sound that's still in the game right now. So from the old 2D version of it.
So I've started the campaign just to kind of give a flavor as to what's that about.
You know, the better one is actually the one that's in the free play. But,
okay. Ooh.
Yeah, so this is, it's not really fleshed out. I didn't really do this one so well, but it's just, it's supposed to be like a rescue mission. But, and there's some, I was mainly showing off that I have the comms popping up and things like that. So there are like scripted events, but yeah, as you can see, it's over in about 5 seconds. So, the, free play version has a, has more of a scripted kind of thing going on.
What does Ben mean by SSS ships? What does that mean?
I don't know. I think that's the game he's working on.
Oh, so. What's Ben working on? Oh, let's backtrack a little bit. You are a teacher. You're a sixth grade teacher.
Yes, yes.
And so that, does that mean, like, is that still elementary or is that middle school where you are?
Yeah, we're a middle school. So, yes, sixth grade is the first grade in the middle school at my school.
Okay. So, yeah, it's weird. Like, some places, seventh and eighth grade is middle school. Some places, sixth and seventh and eighth. It's very weird.
Yeah. Yeah, where I grew up, it was sixth grade was still elementary. It was weird.
Right. And my middle school, sixth grade was middle school. So
yeah, I had fifth through eighth was middle school. It was broken up into fours.
Wow, fifth grade. Oof.
Yeah, that was really weird.
Because the eighth graders in our school are all taller than me, and you know, sixth grade.
Well, you know why? It's all those steroids that they put in the.
It's funny. My girlfriend teaches elementary music, and she says some of her fifth graders are also getting taller than she is.
Right. Yeah, that's possible too. Yeah,
dude, I was over at the neighbor's house, right? And their kid was over there, and he's like, I don't know, 15 something. The kid is 7 feet tall. It's just like, my God. He's got a career as like, if he wanted to get into like fruit picking or something, because he's got like really long arms too, right? So he could go to an orchard and just like, he wouldn't even need a ladder. He could just like be picking oranges or whatever. I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's something. Yeah. Apparently they're putting it in the milk in the schools. That's what my tinfoil friends say.
Yeah. I think it's gluten awareness. I think now that the kids are off gluten, they're all getting taller.
Yeah.
Apparently Ben gluten is 6'2".
Keeps you down.
Apparently that's what he says. Well, that's taller than me, definitely.
Yeah. So what do you teach?
I teach English and reading.
Oh, okay.
And you have a video game club. That's what I'm kind of getting to.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, we started an after-school club where the idea is to show the kids some programming and how to make some games. And, you know, there's mostly it's just fun. You know, it's not like a class, so the kids can come in and create stuff or play around with what other people are making. Sometimes they play my stuff, you know, so.
That's pretty great.
Cool English teacher.
Yeah. In my class, that was called computer class.
Yeah.
We sat there and made video games, and they're like, don't do that. It's like, dude. But then they found out, like, if we were making games, we were actually teaching ourselves faster than the class was set to teach us.
Yeah, pretty much. Like,
It was Mr. Robinson was our teacher for that, and I still love that guy. It's like I talk to him once in a while, like every few years. I just call him up, like, you know, he's still alive. Yeah, cool, great. Yeah. But it's he ended up actually being, like, the school district's IT guru, dude. But,
oh, wow.
But when we started out, this was, like, 1984. And we had IBM 8086s.
Oh, God. You know what we had?
Apples.
Commodore PETs.
Oh, yeah. No.
That's the stuff, man.
Wow.
I was going to say that the first thing I ever made on as a video game on the computer was a Commodore 64, and it was like a text adventure. So that was kind of I was in fifth grade, and I came in at lunch to use the class computer and make a game that I mapped out in a composition notebook. So.
I feel bad for you because Commodores suck. Ataris were so much better. I'm sorry. Am I lighting that 30-year-old flame war again?
Yeah.
Right back to the BBS.
PC Master Race.
Ataris, man.
Forever.
Yeah.
Hashtag Atari Master Race.
But see, back then,
whatever they would give me.
In the BBS days, whenever somebody talked shit, they were within the same long distance Lada, so you knew that they could just drive over and kick your ass, right? So we were a lot nicer to each other than people are on the internet today.
Yeah, that was the internet back then.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm going to send an email to California. Yeah, FidoNet, baby. It'll get there in a week, right? Like snail mail would show up quicker than email. It was great.
Wow, these impacts on the asteroids are pretty cool too.
Oh yeah, like when you hit it with machine gun fire or something. Yeah.
Yeah, just like the splatter fire that goes across.
Oh yeah, yeah. They still hurt when you run into them, but I just found out.
Yeah.
So yeah,
too much though.
Your school thing sounds a hell of a lot more fun than the chess club. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
That would be we should probably do chess club too though. That'd
but
be
it'd
good.
Be computer chess.
Yeah, computer chess. Yeah. Well, we use MIT created this thing called Scratch. I don't know if you guys have heard of that before.
I've not.
But it's kind of a intro to programming. It's a plug and play, so the kids can choose different pieces to put together to make the games. And
yes, I've seen this. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, they don't have to learn to type any code to start out, but it teaches a lot of the concepts, and they make some crazy stuff, actually. So,
do you remember an Origin game back in the late 80s? It was called Omega, and it was a robot tank thing, and you had to program the tank, right? And then they came out with a game in the like early 2000s, 99, 2000, and it was kind of like Omega, but it was a robot fighting game. So, but it was modular programming. So you had icons that were different actions, and then you could assign values to them. But it was almost like it was like making a flowchart in Visio, where you would grab the actual flowchart symbols. Like, you know, you'd have an and or decision, and you'd stick it there, and then you could write a condition in it, right? So it was very, very low keyboard amount of programming, but you had to think through the logic stuff. And I wonder, like, once you know how to think like a programmer, you can program in any language. You just got to learn the syntax, right? But you have to just get the concept. So that's a thing I've often wondered: is why don't they make more games that teach programming? It's like, okay, you have to program your dude to do whatever, and now it's like an online competition, right? Like whoever wrote the best tank program wins. And I don't know, maybe that's your next thing. I'm putting you in charge of that. So.
There is actually a game like that already out there. I think it's accessible through code.org, but you basically, it's like an RPG, and you have to tell your character to navigate a dungeon. And I had some kids working on that. And that one actually, you can choose. Yeah, you can choose like JavaScript to type in, or Lua, or I forget what the other language is, but there's a couple languages, so they actually learn actual scripting.
See, that's
cool. Isn't that one also like a plug and play thing too? Like where you can fit in little modules here and there, and it'll.
There is that version too. I think the one in the dungeon, maybe it is. Yeah, you know what? They do have that part of it too. Yeah, I think it's, but they use actual programming languages, I think is how it works. But it could be plug and play. I think you're right.
But see, that's super cool. I wish, because, you know, video games, like, especially when I was a kid, right, they were getting a terrible rap because it's like, oh, you're just wasting your time, because it was Atari, right? But but it was just like, if it actually could teach some practical life skills, like the stuff that I felt that got missed in even high school is like, okay, you come out and you can do, like, I came out of high school, like, I could do chemistry and calculus and computer programming stuff. I had no concept about like how to balance a checkbook or what a house payment was like or how to shop for groceries, right? So why don't they actually make some sort of educational software that teaches like mundane life skills in some exciting way?
Exciting way.
Yeah.
Here's how to do your taxes.
Yeah. I know, right? Like stayoutofjail.com game. But yeah.
Okay, they need to add that to The Sims or something. Yeah.
Okay, Mike, what are your students talking about with the snail wars and the centillions of snail planes?
I think Ben's pitching us a game. I think that's what's going on.
Is it a space game, Ben? Do you want to come on the podcast in a few weeks?
I think we need to wait till he's out of college and he's created his game.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I don't know if we've ever had a guest that young on the show.
Yeah, by the way, Brian, the audience is full of kids, so if you drop any F-bombs, you're gonna die.
Oh, frack.
Don't get me in trouble. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, Felder Garb. Blathering Blatherskite.
Is it? Are we suddenly in Harry Potter land, or what's going on?
That's Darkwing Duck.
Oh,
no, that's not Darkwing Duck. It's Gizmo Duck.
Oh, I've never heard of that. Is that like Inspector Gadget?
It was from DuckTales. It was from the RoboCop version of DuckTales.
Okay.
You could always go all Farscape on him and start using like Frel and Yachts and.
I've never watched Alien. Never actually watched Farscape, sir.
Alien cuss words they used on that show.
Gorammit and stuff. What?
Did you know that frack was actually used in the original Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah, I know. I love that.
They had more words, though. They had more weird words like Centon and...
Yeah, yeah. They had Felder Garb, I think, was one of them. I think was a word in the original BSG.
Yeah.
So what kind of words got said whenever Battlestar Galactica 1980 came on TV? I think those were actual real.
Those are probably real curse words.
Yeah, I think so. And that was from the fans. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, I skipped that one. So I don't know.
Oh, you saved yourself a word. You saved yourself a word. Hurt, son.
I'm not using it as a reference. So yeah.
See, if I was Ben says I can curse.
No, you can't. No.
Dude,
Ben says it's okay.
Dude, kids today would teach us words. So yeah.
True, but
anyway, yeah. If I was a teacher, I would have like I would be in serious trouble because I'd have like 80s bad movie night would be like my after school special. You know, it's like let's watch Megaforce, kids. I'm gonna show you how Dad had it, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
But yeah. And by the way, kids, watch Megaforce. That's the best movie. Well, no, Robot Jocks is the best movie ever. Robot Jocks.
I'll fight you on that.
I have already killed you in my mind. That was the best movie.
Space Mutiny.
Space Mutiny. Blast Hard Cheese. Yes.
Remember Time Rider, the one with the time-traveling motorcycle?
Time Rider.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, yes. I can't give up the spoiler, but Time Rider did the cliche, dude. No, it's the time travel movie cliche. It happens in the worst of time.
Oh, yeah. Movies. Terrible.
Yes.
It was a wonderfully terrible movie. It had the guy from Remo Williams in it, if I remember.
Yes, sir. Sure did.
Oh, wow. I could talk about bad 80s movies.
Remo Williams is a gem.
Oh, I love that movie.
Fabulous.
The book is good, too. I actually started reading the book it's based on.
Yeah, I wish that they'd made Remo Williams Part 2. Because when you name something Part 1...
The adventure begins.
I know, right? Like
exactly.
I don't know. I spent my entire childhood waiting for the second movie, but no.
I know because the guy, the teacher guy, was the best.
Hey, Jim, what about Eliminators?
Dude, you know how I feel about Eliminators.
What's Eliminators? I don't even know that one.
Well, Brian.
Okay. 1986 had Denise Crosby in it.
It did. It totally did.
No, it didn't.
Okay, let me tell you a joke. A robot, a pirate, a ninja, and a rocket scientist walk into a bar. Tell me if you've seen this movie before. So, it totally is, dude.
Sorry, Mike. You should know if you've listened to the show that we keep going.
It is the 80th.
I don't think I was allowed to watch this movie, yeah.
It is the 80th of movies. Oh, no, there's nothing off in it. Like, I could watch this with, like, a five-year-old. It's not a... You know, there's nothing naughty.
I don't think there's anything more 80s than Megaforce.
Half man, half tank. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, half man, half tank.
Yes.
Was.
Did you Google it? Or did your...
Yeah, I did. Yes. Yeah, okay. I definitely didn't.
Oh, God. But he keeps his legs in the trunk, right? So whenever he wants to get out of the tank thing, he's...
Wait, what is this called?
It's called the Eliminators. Yeah. Dude, he does. He, like, totally, like, snaps his legs on and walks out of it. But that costume, though, is amazing because
he's in the
tank thing, but they actually made, like, supports that come up, and it looks like his torso's on a platform, but there's open
when I look
air
at him, I feel
under
like
him.
Human snail or something. Like, every time I see him ride around like that.
Oh, my God, what is this? This is amazing. This looks amazing. Why haven't I seen this?
Dude, it's right there with Megaforce, and they have to fight the time-traveling evil scientist who intends to go back in time and take over the Roman Empire. and then make himself Caesar, and then set things up so that he'll be the ruler in the future, and then he comes back. Right? That's his whole plan. And
what?
Yes. This makes sense. Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
I'm adding this to the list of movies I need to see.
It's,
I'm putting this on my Trello.
Yeah. Okay. Then there's another one. It's,
We gotta make Eliminators the video game now.
Yeah. I'm just going to put it as like a side plot, you know, side mission. Get robot feet.
You have to land in one of those cap ships and you're the tank guy.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how you work.
Then there's another 80s movie. It's called Order of the Black Eagle.
I've heard of that.
It's a tank driving baboon that fights Nazis. I am not lying. So my wife watched this. It's on Netflix, or was before they started cleaning out all their good movies. But yeah, it's terrible. Another good one is especially it could be reenacted in a high school. It's Chacma, which is about a baboon, and they've made this drug that makes baboons like hyper aggressive. Like baboons already don't need incentive to kill you, and
so it's kind of like Project X without Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, kind of. Well, then they decide, like, the nerds that all work in this lab where they're testing the baboon rage medicine, they decide that they're going to play some midnight LARP D&D in the building. So they're playing D&D, and the baboon that they think is dead wakes up and starts running around the building, killing them. Oh, and it's like,
oh, I've seen this. Yeah.
Isn't actually, that the most wonderful movie? Oh my God.
Actually, I think one of the most 80s movies I've ever seen was Chopping Mall.
Yes.
Remember that?
Oh, yes. With the robot. You know, somebody actually restored one of those robots, like, back to
me. What?
Right? They found the prop. Yeah, there's like this website that I've seen that they go out and they hunt for, like, 80s movie props and then restore them. So you remember Damnation Alley? They had that cool, they called it the Landmaster. It was like a Winnebago with like triangular triple wheels.
Yeah.
So they found it, right? It was like in some dude's backyard in LA, and they found the thing, and now there's like a restoration effort for the thing.
Did they find the car from The Wraith?
I don't know about that one. I watched The Wraith. I thought, oh God, this has to be a great movie. No,
not at all.
It wasn't. It didn't make it to so bad it's good. It was just like, wow, it's bad.
It's just so bad.
It didn't have the proper amount of tiger blood, is what was.
It's no Golden Child. That's for sure.
No, but it had the sheen.
It's no Masters of the Universe.
Oh.
Oh God.
Oh man.
Yeah, I went there.
Dolph Lundgren, how I don't miss you.
I had such a crush on Tila in that movie because I was around that age where I was starting to know what crushes were.
The chick that played Evil Lynn in that.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name. She's the redheaded girl with the silver eyes.
Yeah.
She was in like all that good 80s trash when they needed somebody that was like a villain chick.
Oh God!
So did you ever see oh God, what was it called? I can't think of it. It was a space western, and
Brave Star.
No,
I need space western. That's good.
There aren't enough space westerns in our lives.
Yeah. I've noticed on Twitch that Brian's getting better at killing the first guy on the
and then I'm getting my butt.
Oh yeah, it was called Oblivion. That's it, not Out. It was Outland, Outworld, something. I was thinking, no, it's Oblivion was the movie. Put Oblivion on your list. Oh,
the Tom Cruise one?
No, the original good Oblivion, which was from 1994.
And, that's too late, man.
Oh my gosh, dude! No, this movie—it's a space western, but it's done. They knew what they were doing, okay? They knew what they were making, and it's crazy. I can't even. Right. So
all this makes me want to watch the all this makes me want to watch the Final Sacrifice again.
Yes.
Oh, or, God.
I think that, how many episodes of Space Game Junkie can we mention Final Sacrifice and or...
Not enough, I think.
or Space Mutiny.
Well, you know what? It'd be a good movie for Mike would be The Substitute.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Is that where all the teachers are aliens or something?
No, this is where the guy, he was like a...
A former SEAL or something.
Yeah, he was like a special forces guy. And then there's like some kind of drug ring in the school or something. So he goes undercover as a substitute teacher and goes full happens. Charles Bronson.
No, yeah. What's the name of the actor? He was also in the sniper movies. Tom Berger? What the fuck is his name?
Tom Bergen or something.
Bergen something.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I can't even.
How did we get on that tangent, by the way? How did that happen?
So,
Meg
Foster. It happened.
Oh, by the way, Oblivion has George Takei in it. I'm just saying. He plays the doc.
No, it doesn't.
Yes. Oh, yes. And he's got, okay,
oh my.
George Takei has the best line in the whole movie because he's got like the gunfight's about to go down and stuff and he's like a super high anxiety, high strung guy, right? And he's like in the bar and he grabs a bottle of whiskey and he's like, Jim, beam me up. And then he starts chugging this bottle of Jim Beam.
what was that terrible 80s time travel movie with Mark Hamill? I think it was Radon Chong. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've seen it, but I don't know. Do you remember Extreme? That was another terrible
something Mark like Hamill. That, yeah.
Or The Guyver,
like
which...
No, that was it, The Guyver. Yeah,
okay. The anime is awesome, but the movie, no.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was called, right?
The Guyver was the kid finds this alien super suit of organic armor.
Or no, it was something similarly named to The Guyver, but it wasn't The Guyver. I can't look right now. Someone look up Mark Hamill on IMDb.
Yep, I'm already there.
How did we get on this topic, by the way? I can't even remember at this point.
Because we were talking about Eliminators.
Yeah.
Hunter did
it. How did we even get on Eliminators?
This was my first show, and he threw us off the rails.
Damn it, Hunter.
Space Game Junkies 80s movie review.
Damn it,
no, actually, it's
come
my
on.
It's my fault. We were talking about,
all right, I'm out.
We were talking about Computer Club and Chess Club, and I was like, I'd have
Bad Exit, Movie Club. Stage 80s.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
You're movie fired, club. Hunter. Get out.
Well, they have Anime Club, so they do have that.
They have Anime Club?
How did I do that? Because anime...
Son of a gun.
Wow.
How am I supposed to handle three ships, by the way?
You guys, new progressive schools, you...
I made the game, but I have won this mission.
Well, yeah, because you made the game.
Yeah.
You probably know all the cheat codes.
I was actually really excited when I beat it, so maybe it's not that...
Maybe I'll be excited if I...
Oh, yeah, I beat this one earlier.
Thanks, Hunter, that's great.
If I can do it, you can do it, Brian. I believe in you.
How did you do it?
One at a time, and then I would fly away really fast, and then come back later.
Okay, I'm going to fly away really fast.
Anything you can beat, I can beat better. I can beat anything better than you.
Also, if you wait for the AI to do something stupid. Like spiral, downward spiral is kind of their worst maneuver that's really slow.
Yeah, so let's talk about AI. So how do these enemy starfighters... What's going on? Do you have like a decision tree? How do they decide?
Yeah,
it's like
I have like
things.
It's kind of a component based AI. So it's kind of like a state machine. So it has behaviors and then it has transitions. But it's kind of plug and play. And then there's also a list of maneuvers that they pull from too. So I have like a pilot class that holds all the different maneuvers, like basically the pilot's brain of what they would choose from. At the moment, it's kind of like if they get too close and they need to back off, they choose a maneuver and do that to escape. Eventually it's going to be a little bit more aggressive. Like, okay, I want to pick from a bunch of different combat maneuvers, or if they can scan your ship, they know like to attack you from the left or from the right. So right now they're just attacking you kind of in a random fashion. Like they're not really deciding how weak you are. But they could do that, and they're already kind of too hard, so we'll probably add a few more things. I know, did that answer your question? I don't know. I'm talking.
Oh yeah, that's cool. Hey, by the way, I just discovered, I was talking about, like, somebody needs to make a robot tank programming game, fightcodegame.com. That's exactly what it is. And you can upload your robot and fight other people, and then you can actually watch the video replays of other people's fights.
Wow.
It's awesome. Get your kids there quick.
Amazing. Oh, gosh, look at this. Yeah.
So I found the movie I was talking about. It's called Time Runner. It's from actually the early 90s.
Wow, that's an exciting title.
It's terrible. Ben, it's not a good movie. It's an awful movie. Mark Hamill with a slight 5 o'clock shadow / beard thing trying to be a badass. No.
Oh, no. I remember seeing parts of this. This is awful.
Yes, terrible. It is.
Oh, wow. Good.
But you know what? It's not as bad as Time Chasers.
That's true. Here's another one. It's robocode.sourceforge.net.
Wow. So
which is another robot tank game.
Yeah, you know, with HTML5, it seems like all these things are just popping up, you know, all over the place.
Which is good.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Oh, and then there's battlecode.org. Wow. Okay.
I swear,
I don't think as gamers.
Sorry.
They've heard you already.
I know, right? Like, I invented this.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think we've had this much variety and choice in gaming maybe ever.
Yeah.
Well, we just haven't had – I think we haven't had the quality, though, either, because there's a lot more people that are – well, not in this amount, like you said, not in this variety.
I think a lot of that, though, is that we have now access to game engines, whereas before – you know, like back in Grandpa's day when I was doing it, you had to write your own. Like there was no Unity, there was no Unreal Engine or anything. It was just like, you know, hey, here's some Peek and Poke. Remember that from Commodore? Peeks and Pokes. Yeah,
yeah.
That's where it's at. You're jamming hex stuff into memory registers if you wanted to get anything done. But now we have engines. So it's a little bit more accessible, I think. And then people can actually have good ideas, and they don't have to be like a freaking engineer. You don't have to be like John Carmack and figure out how a 3D engine should work.
Right.
Yeah, Ben asks if we've ever played the Robot Wars games from a TV show. I think I'm remembering
Maybe it's based on the TV show.
Yeah, I think I'm remembering that. That was awesome.
Was that on the Sci-Fi Channel?
Yeah,
like back
it was
late
based
90s?
On that movie, Mighty No. 9. Oh, wait, no, the other way around. Have you seen that yet, by the way?
What's that?
Mighty No. 9? I think that's what it's
called. Yeah, it's supposed to be the Mega Man, like...
Yeah, well, it's the kid is a... They have, like, Robot Fight Club, right? But it's, like, an illegal back alley thing. Because, you know, this is big in Japan, right? The sumo fight.
Oh, are you talking about Big Hero 6?
Big Hero 6, Mighty No. 9.
Oh, I've not seen Big Hero 6.
My brain. Yeah, Mighty No. 9 is actually a Mega Man game. But Big Hero 6. Hey, it's got a number in it. Come on, I'm not good at math.
It does. It does.
But yeah, Big Hero 6.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah, they have back alley robot fights, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it's awesome that they have... In Japan, it's like a thing. Like people build these robots and then they sumo fight them. It's great. So I saw this thing. It was Brian and I were laughing about it some years ago. In fact, it was called like, and of course it's in English, right? It was like robot big battle in the space, right?
Kaiju big battle.
Yeah, exactly. God, I want to see that so bad. But you got to go to New York or Philly or somewhere to see it, right? But this was called Robot Big Battle in the Space, and they were actually going. I'm sure they've done it by now if they were going to do it. But it was put these remote control robots in a satellite, shoot it up into orbit, and then they remote control fight robots in zero G, right? And it's like, okay, that's about as Japanese as you can possibly get,
man. Zero G throwing punches. I don't know. Not gonna work too well.
No, it'd be like Descent, right? You know,
just be sliding backwards. Yeah. I saw a movie the other weekend called What We Do in the Shadows.
Uh-huh.
And it's a vampire mockumentary by the guys who did what's that show called? Flight of the Conchords.
What? Oh, I heard of that.
Yeah. But so the vampires, they're always floating, basically. So when they get into fights, they're constantly just like slipping on the floor, basically. Like they can't get enough traction. So it's like they're fighting in space, you know. Like I can't, you know, they're just kind of end up slapping each other, basically, because they can't get a grip on the floor at all.
So before you ported this game over into the new Unity engine, how long have you spent working on this?
I guess close to a year now on this game, maybe a little less. I did the one game a month game jam for the last year.
Oh wow!
And I ended it in November. So one of the games. So I was working towards, you know, trying to make, you know, turn this into something for real. So one of the games that I did in the month was just like a really quick kind of space battle, and I took that and turned it into what we have now with a lot more AI and different types of components and things like that. So, but it started off as just kind of like one-on-one dogfighting, essentially, like infinitely.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But, yeah, so about a year, I'd say.
And how far along would you say it is?
I don't know.
That's fine. I mean, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
What I like is you can definitely see the potential.
Yeah.
Just in I'm liking the combat. It's intense. You know, I'm not going to make it. Oh God, son of a whore.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of my, you know, one of the things that I want to add.
Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, we're going to bleep you out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I should have added a bleep to my computer.
Hi, Iqbal. Ben's cat says hello.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, like a little missile launch every time.
I finally made it past the three ships at once.
You've only got this one guy left?
You masochist.
Yes, I think I just saw you do the final. Yes. And then for a reward, you can just press restart because that's all.
Oh.
I like how the guy will tell you, good job, now go home. Like
I worked so hard.
Oh, yeah, if you haven't hit the actual waypoint, you got to do that, of course. Yeah, you can't just float in space. You gotta complete your patrol, of course.
So what is this a fighter you're flying? Are there gonna be other types of small craft, like bombers or attack craft or anything like that? Or is it just gonna be like simple fighters?
So I wanna have a couple different types of fighters. The current one that you're using, I threw on some anti-cap ship torpedoes, so if you aim right you can actually take one out. So that's kind of my, you know, there's going to be different models for everything, but, you know, I kind of want to keep the fighter bomber thing kind of all in one almost. I don't know.
No, that makes sense.
With some upgrading maybe, but I want to do a Corvette. So like a, you know, kind of a, almost like a fighter killer type of ship, but that's going to be a lot larger. And then, I want to go up from there with, you know, really big battleships, and then, some smaller, faster cap ships as well. So, and then also a carrier that can launch the fighter ships and stuff like that.
Very nice. Now, in the campaign, is it going to be like you start out as a fighter pilot and then you can get loaded and stuff, or you can just take over any ship at any time willy-nilly?
So right now the feature is just in to do it, but I think with the campaign what I'd like to do is start you off as just in control of one ship with the one main character to get going. I guess I haven't fleshed out that idea because I do like the idea of being able to switch to any ship you want. But, you know, when you're flying a story, it's kind of tough to be like, oh yeah, I was that guy. And then I jumped into the carrier and became the commander of the whole army. And, you know, so, in the beginning of the campaign, you're actually a militia out on a, you know, frontier area.
Oh, nice.
You get kind of roped into the big war, like some of the, you know, bigger kind of Terran army. I don't know what we're going to call them yet. I think I put some names in the battle editor, but none of that's really set in stone. They kind of fly through chasing another fleet, and you get pulled in as a fighter pilot into the conflict, and that's kind of how it's going to start off.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. So I had some of that mocked up, and then I deleted it. And just kind of put in some placeholders to show off some of the functionality. But.
So wait, is this guy telling me to go to the nav point and go home, and there's no nav point? It just kind of stops?
Or you may have hit it already. I think you've hit it already. Did you go? You flew through the last one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're done. Yeah. So oh. you'll, but I mean, just like in free space, you'll probably hit like, you know, Alt J or something and land on your carrier or something like that.
I like that. I like that a lot. Now, so you're going to have this dynamic campaign, but you're also, now the free play mode is going to be like more like Elite.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of my favorite games growing up was Privateer. So,
oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, while I'm making a sort of a big combat simulator and I like the idea of having the, you know, free space wing commander style military campaign, yeah. I also thought, you know, having something where you can just go from jump point to jump point and, you know, the backgrounds and stuff are just generated, you know, procedurally. So, you know, it's just a couple switches to make it into like a real, you know, I don't know, thousand system universe or whatever. So
wow.
I want to be able to, and the jumping, I took it out, but it's there. It's already, you know, underneath the system. So, there used to be little jump points that you could hit and jump to another, you know, generated system. And they all just run off of, you know, random number seeds. So you can always come back to the same one, just like the original Elite did. So it's all the functionality for the free play is there. It's just a matter of kind of building up, you know, campaign stories and things like that we can put in as missions. So kind of like that patrol mission you just did. Right. Things now, like that.
You said it's going to – sorry, go ahead.
Well, what kind of story, I mean, are you going to have? Is it, you know, like a capital ship love story? Like
– Yeah.
when two battleships meet and fall in love and then
– The ship computer comes alive and yeah.
Oh, God, it's going to be Electric Dreams all over.
Wow, dude, that would be an awesome, like, one of those cheap-ass sci-fi movies on Saturday. It'd be like, you know, like two battleships fall in love, the AI thing. And then
it could be like space.
The AIs where, become sentient.
Yeah, and then, but then they have to fight the humans to get their freedom. So
it could be like Space Mutiny where they use all original BSG footage for the ships,
yes.
and then they film it in a refinery.
In fact, we'll just have both ships be the same ship. It could just be the Galactica, from different angles.
Like film it in a refinery where like clearly you can see the windows in the background and it's daytime.
And someone's holding the model with their hand and you're just trying to cut it out, you know.
The first Star Trek movie, the inside of the Enterprise down in engineering, kind of had that look. Like, wow, they filmed this in like a sewage processing plant.
It was a brewery.
Oh, was it?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was an actual brewery. Which confused the fuck out of me. Oh, damn.
Beep.
Sorry,
beep.
Ben.
Beep.
It's live.
Ben actually asks if we like snails because apparently he doesn't like sci-fi with humans.
Ah. Well, an alien race of snails.
Yeah. I enjoy snails.
To the Eliminators.
Oh, yeah, true. It is.
It rained here in L.A. a couple of weeks ago, which it rained in L.A. And, we had snails everywhere. We had to actually be careful not to step on them.
We're back to beer. So what you do is you get a beer can, you cut it in half, and then leave it like half full of beer, and the snails are attracted to the beer, and they'll crawl up the can and into it, and then like beer, you know, the alcohol just like, well, it's not good for the snails, let's say.
What you do is you get a little baby mouse and you put it in the beer bottle, and then you let it grow a little bit. And then you go to the brewery and say, hey, I found this mouse in your bottle of beer. I want a free case of beer, eh?
Wow. Oh, that would be a strange brew indeed.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah, the kids are definitely getting an 80s education here. We're bringing it.
Yeah.
Kids, look. The time that we live in right now is everything is wonderful, and yet it is terrible because it is not the 80s. Like Madonna was not a weird wrinkly prune. She was hot. Okay. She was like Taylor Swift hot.
And they have game
imagine.
Engines.
Yeah. And we didn't have DRM on our games. We had cartridges.
Yeah.
Right.
Or code wheels. Remember code wheels?
Oh, I remember.
Oh, the code wheels were the best.
Or you had to look up a specific word in the manual.
Yeah, in the manual.
No, you know the best?
The original Warcraft was like that. It was like look on page 5, second paragraph, first word.
You know what
the
was
best? The best was Starflight 2. The best was Starflight 2 because you had a map with all the systems in it, and you had a little thing with a cutout, and it told you to put your cutout thing at this court, at this map thing. And it's like, how many red stars are in the thing?
You had to figure it out,
and you had to count how many red stars were in the.
That's terrible. So, like M1 tank platoon, they gave you a piece of red cellophane. And then there was black numbers on a red piece of paper.
I actually have that because you couldn't photocopy it
because it would all come out black, right? But I was the master hacker, so I got a bottle of rubbing alcohol and a cotton swab because the alcohol would just turn the red white and left the black numbers. So I was able to like photocopy it for all my friends and be like, you know, here. So anyway, whatever.
I'm probably going to jail for that. One of my goals for Space Warfare Infinite is to have a boot up disc someday for it.
Oh my god!
I just think the kids today are so spoiled, you know.
I know, right? It's like, okay, now you got to make a hard choice: CD driver or mouse.
You've got a quad core processor, but yeah, you're gonna need to boot it up from an old school external floppy drive. Yeah,
and you can make them play X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, but they simulate 300 baud by checking that network box, like we used to months ago.
You're gonna have to get a USB based floppy drive because the only way you can get them anymore.
I have one.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Just how much are they? I've been meaning to get one.
I don't know. I've had it for years just in case something comes up.
Tiger Direct.
And, as a matter of fact, my new computer right now doesn't have any, like, anything but USB ports on it, right? So there's no but I have on hand, in case I need it, I have a USB DVD writer and a USB floppy thing just in case, for some fucked up reason, excuse me, kids, for some reason, you know. You never know. You never know.
I still run games on disc all the time, actually, because I run all these old games.
Yeah.
And I still have, you know, a Wing Commander set that's on, like, what is it, 5 1/4?
Oh, yeah. I got a bunch of 5 1/4s. I'm looking at them right now, actually.
Yeah, I need to see if Unity will do a DOS build. That would be... It's like, well, we've got Linux, we've got Mac, we've got PC, but no DOS yet.
Get DOSBox just to run your game.
Yeah, that would be...
SWI.exe.
Yeah, that would be... Yeah, that would be a crowning achievement. But, you know, you could probably get a lot more power out of the system.
Oh, in fact, make it Power Glove compatible.
No, it would only run power. On a rendition-based 3D accelerator.
Yeah.
You can get the special TNT build for if you have your ATI TNT.
Oh god, the Riva? Was it the
Riva? Yeah, Riva TNT.
Or if you have a Matrox card. If you have a Matrox card.
Well, Matroxes were cool because they were dual head, so you could actually run two monitors off of one.
Oh god, insane.
Insane.
If you had a desk that could hold two monitors back then.
But see, that's how I used to do video production, right? Because I would have one head that was hooked to my monitor and the other head went out to a VCR and I would actually stream the game but record to VCR and then I could bring it back in because I had a gold something that was actually a video converter. That I could bring the video back, but my hard drives were too slow to actually read like 640 by 480 full frame AVI at 30 frames a second. So I had to drop it to like 10 frames a second. So it was really jakey. And, you know, of course, MPEG sending over. Yeah. Remember when before YouTube, when you had to buffer for like 10 minutes before the video would start in QuickTime?
Yeah. Remember when you had to tape VHS together? Tape it together to edit it, you know?
Oh, yeah. You'd splice VHS. Wow.
I did that. I did that in high school.
Yeah, you were the AV kid, right? You were the kid pushing the TV card around, right?
I knew how to edit video before video was really editable.
Yeah. Do you guys still have those in school, by the way? Do you have TV carts that you have to push around room to room with VCR on them and...
You know, my school actually just got rid of all the TVs. They got rid of them. Well, we have we have projectors that we can run the TV through, so they took all the TVs out. I don't know where the TVs went.
Yeah, a lot of schools are getting like smart boards and all this crap now, and
yeah, we have iPads floating around and all sorts of stuff. So yeah, there's the TVs went away. It was weird. This you know, I came in from the summer. I was like, what happened to the TV? It's the end of an era.
So
yeah.
Mike, you worked on Homeworld, right? That's what someone in the chat is asking, right? You worked on Homeworld, of course.
Me, I worked on Homeworld.
Someone at Floridon asked if the guy talking is behind Homeworld. Nope.
No. I just really like the trails that Homeworld uses. So
Martin Cyrillus would like to have a word with you about his.
Yeah, I might be infringing on some sort of copyright.
Yeah, did you hear the episode where we had him on here? Because he was like, yeah, all these games that are doing that now, you know, they need.
You know, if it looks vaguely like something else, you can get sued now, I think. So, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, because nothing is iterative
at
all in the world.
I mean, it's just, you know, the trails, I think, and I know you guys have mixed feelings on Strike Suit Zero, but they use the trails too. And I just think that it makes it all look real pretty. And it does show off the AI. It shows off kind of what everyone's doing and stuff. So that, you know, seeing the fluid motion of the fighters is kind of fun to watch. So,
yeah, see, the problem that I have with Strike Suit Zero is it's the same reason Peter Molyneux and I don't get along, is because in Black and White, he gave me a magic cow, right? And then in the third level, he took it away for the rest of the game. And in Strike Suit Zero, they promised me, like, this awesome flying metal man in space, you know, like I can have a mecha.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, you get it for, like, 2 seconds at a time. Awesome.
Right, and then you run out of,
Yeah, and it's like, ah! So, you know, it's like that a little bit.
And I felt like the mobility's not there either when you're.
It's not. You basically turn into a turret. Yeah, basically.
Right. You turn into a robot, and then you Robotech the heck out of everything with your missiles, and then, you know, turn back into. Yeah. And that's right, kids. Robotech. Go watch Robotech. Because that's the best. Like, when I was a kid, like, we grew up, we were watching, you know, like, G.I. Joe, because, you know, knowing's half the battle, and the other half of the battle's blue and red lasers, but it's there's a Venn diagram in there somewhere, but it's watching G.I. Joe, like, nobody ever got killed, right? And then I see Robotech, which was my first anime, and people are getting killed, like, you know, there was, like, Rick Hunter, like, shot the gun pod and, like, blew a hole in a Zentradi guy, and then, like, the scene is, like, looking from behind the Zentradi guy through the hole in his back, looking at Rick Hunter in the cockpit, like, freaking out. And I was like, wow, like, what just happened? He didn't parachute out, you know? Crazy. They kill people in Japan in cartoons. And then I was an anime fan forever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really like the Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Really?
Series. Yeah.
I had Shinji.
The ending
problems.
Was weird, but. Yeah.
I didn't like Shinji at all. Like, it was like, if I skip all the parts with people and just watch the parts with the robots, it's awesome. So we need a super cut that just removes Shinji from
deletes him from the show.
Daddy, I hate you. Yeah, that was like half the show, but
that's true.
I gotta ask, with these cap ships, when they blow up, they leave lots of little pieces behind. Is that like, are they made up of lots of little pieces, so when they blow up, it looks real good?
Paper mache.
You're asking me the secrets behind the explosions?
I do love the explosions. I got to say, they're very impressive.
Yes, tell us your secrets.
Well, so the next thing, once I get some, because I don't really like my models very much, so eventually I'll have like a better, you know, some better cap ship models. But
sure.
What I want to do is also break those cap ships up into bigger chunks too, so that there's charred chunks of cap ship.
That's great.
I think that your models are actually too skinny, and they give unrealistic expectations for other spaceships. Never mind.
If you put the fighter next to them, they're actually not that skinny.
No, but don't listen
to Jim.
I'm sorry.
They're like a. They're almost a kilometer long, I think. So, you know, they're pretty big, even though they don't maybe look it in the game. But I want to do so they're not made out of little chunks. Like I don't have some crazy shader that takes the mesh and breaks it up into little pieces. So,
Brian, what are you doing?
Oh yeah, that's gonna be wonderful setup there. Yeah. He wants to see everything instantaneously explode. And
that's right. I do.
Yeah. So you can,
that will. Yeah.
I appreciate that you're bringing back the, you know, the space game genre, right? And you have access to young impressionable minds so that you can like program them to like go get Free Space 2, you know, things like that. But I'm wondering, you were talking about like the clubs and the school and stuff. Is there any kind of board game club that you guys do? Cause that, like that X-Wing game is super popular right now.
Tabletop.
Yeah. Tabletop stuff, man. Like teach these kids BattleTech. Start the new generation.
I have that and the X-Wing tabletop game is excellent.
Okay. Yeah, they have some board game clubs. I think they have some at like lunchtime actually, and I don't know what they play. I'm not doing that myself, so I'm not sure what they're playing and stuff. But I'm sure there are some kids that would want to do that. You know, I started the club because I thought it would be a good place for, you know, some of these kids to hang out and, you know, meet kids with, you know, the same interests, and, you know, I
them nerds
I didn't,
off the street. Cause
yeah, right. You know, it's like, and I, you know.
Otherwise they'd be in trouble.
Oh no. Is Brian's game not showing up? Because I'm a little behind, but I think I ran out of space on the menu.
Yeah.
So go back.
There's a button. There's the delete everything button. That's
that's
free alpha. Yay.
But, yeah, okay, I'm going to make it dynamic, but you know, I just kind of put it in there. So
it's okay. I can make it again.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a place, you know, for kids with that interest to go and learn something at the same time and hang out with friends after school. So, you know, it didn't exist when I was a kid, so I thought it would be a good thing to have.
Yeah, it didn't exist for me either. So that is a very good thing to have. How many kids in your club?
It varies, but we have about probably like 20 members strong normally. And then
that's pretty great.
At the beginning of the year, we get like something like 40 kids sign up, and then because it's middle school, they have a million other interests too. So, you know, they don't all show up after that, but yeah, usually it's like an insane amount of kids. And then they go, wait, how do we make video? I don't want to do this. Okay. Never mind.
Wait, I don't get to just play video games. I thought this was the Xbox club. Yeah. No.
No.
And they do get to play games, but yeah, it's, we're not super strict about, you know, oh, you must only make games right now, you know, there's an expectation that they try to do something, you know, so it's but you know, because it is a school activity, so we can't just, you know, have a LAN party or something. But
did you guys ever play a game called NetTrek?
Oh God, yeah, I was playing that the other day. Actually,
yeah, we've got it the one installed that was, right now.
It's so you could play over a LAN with people, and you'd like be like a little mini Terran ship, and you fly around. And is that the one I'm thinking of? Or
yeah.
Yeah, well, I remember playing
it. NetTrek's kind of like, yeah, big team battle kind of thing, right? So it's Klingons and Federation ships. And
there's, I think, a Romulan ship, too, I think was in there.
Yeah,
well.
I think maybe there was three sides, but you could, like, beam people down to planets and, yeah.
Oh, well, neat. Maybe. Wonder
it was
what
very,
I was
very
thinking,
simple, though. It's like one step up from ASCII.
Yeah, but you flew around and, like, you could cloak and then. It was just like it was like the first online, you know, or it wasn't really online. It was LAN, but
yeah,
like a continuous, you know, line of lasers. What is that?
Huh? Are we looking at what?
Brian, it's like a continuous line of lasers from one ship to the next.
Yeah. So well, then I need the one thing I had to add into the battle editor is changing their elevation as well. So right now they all just drop on the same plane, which is good for everyone to, you know, fight each other, but it.
I mean, this looks pretty cool. I kind of made it like a whole ship of the line thing.
Right. Yeah, and that's something I'm looking at doing too. Is the formations and stuff like that. Like so, you know, I think we went back and forth a little bit on about Lost Fleet when you guys had the author Lost Fleet on.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've read almost every one of his. I read all of the original series, and I've read a couple of the sequels as well.
The spin-off series?
The spin-offs, yeah. So, and I just, you know, I don't want to do, like, really slow battleship combat, but I like his formation ideas and stuff. So,
oh, I know.
Something I want to, like, create, like, the big cube or whatever of cap ships and put certain ones in the front and certain ones in the back and then see how that, you know, I want to add that to the game as well. So that's something I'm planning on doing. And
oh, that'd be great.
once I have specialized cap ships and stuff. So that's kind of.
So yeah. When you're done this, can you make a Lost Fleet game? I would play the crack out of that. I really would. Someone needs to make that game.
Maybe we can mod the engine of this one to.
Yeah, why not? But, now it's Unity, and I've heard Unity has issues with modding. Are you planning on allowing mods for this? I mean, you already have an editor.
Yeah. So one thing I'm doing is I'm going to try to make as much of the game editable within the editing tools inside the game. But I'm also looking at how to import, user generated meshes, because that's people love. You know, if I made a game and people liked it enough to make a Star Wars, mod, I would, or a Star Trek mod, I would be, I could retire happy from video game making. So I want to be able to. I want that to be a possibility, and I've been looking into how it is, and I've seen how people do import meshes into Unity. So it is possible, but I understand that it is a little bit more difficult. So, but it's something I'm researching. I haven't built that functionality yet, but
whoa,
yeah, there's a lot of explosions there.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of train cars just running into each other and blowing.
Yeah. So the cap ship. Instant action that I built, I varied the elevation so that they all kind of pop in at different levels, so they're not all in a train formation. They don't really have much reason to move if they can go straight at their target. So,
oh my god!
Some of the ones closer in who are ramming into each other and stuff, they start diving and getting out of the way.
But, it's pretty impressive with all these lasers going on, all these all these ships blowing up and everything, and Jesus!
I mean, that's the spectacle I'm trying to create. Is it like,
it just moves really smoothly. Good. I mean, is that Unity or is that you?
I mean, I did a lot of, I tried to do my best coding practices to object pooling and things like that. But
he,
I think
he did a lot of motion capture with like a ship on a stick. And
I actually kind of like this simple kind of cel-shaded look. It reminds me a bit of Enemy Starfighter in a good way.
I don't know. That's a pretty game, but thanks for the compliment.
I'm just, I dig it. I'm digging how this looks. Whoa. Yeah.
And I thought about whether or not I just keep it in a low poly style. And I didn't know if it meshed well with the really nice space backgrounds and stuff, though. So I thought about whether or not.
I kind of like it. It keeps things smooth. I mean, you wouldn't have to add too much.
Yeah,
I dig it. Now these are not meant to be carriers because they're scale wise they're not. Whoa.
Yeah, they're not big enough.
Yeah, but there will be carriers, I think you said.
Oh yeah, and you might have seen some of my videos in the past. I had had the fighter launching out of a launch tube. So
I did see that. Yes.
Yeah, so I love that style when I see that in
the BSG style, which is always awesome. You always get a little thrill when you're like,
yeah. And I would like to. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to, one of the dangers of any one man game dev is scope. So I had thoughts of like having the player wake up in their bunk and run down to the ship, jump in and then fly out. But I don't know if I'm going to make that sequence or not, but that's a thought I had. So
that'd be great for like a scramble mission.
Right. Yeah. That's where it would take place. Yeah. Cause the klaxons would go off and stuff and you'd be running through down the ladder or whatever.
That'd be a great idea. You didn't make it to your ship in time, Nugget.
Yeah. Boom. But eventually in these battles, you'll probably most likely be launching out of a carrier in these big fleet battles. So that will be happening. So and then when I get space stations and stuff in and stuff like that, there'd be space stations. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you gotta have space stations.
Well, for the open play too, I guess.
Yeah, for open play, and then also just the reasons for fighting. So having some different types of platforms and stuff like that around the planets and stuff. So launching out of the space stations probably be a little bit different than a launch tube, but something similar.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, what are you saying?
I was going to say, did you play the Free Space Total Conversion Diaspora, the BSG
No, I have not, but I listened to your podcast about it, so it made me want to.
You should
load it up.
If you like that sort of thing, they capture that really well.
And the Blue Planet one too sounded like it had some cap ship control, which sounded like.
I think it does. Yeah,
I wanted to look at that because I'm still trying to figure out how to get my cap ships to be fun, I guess.
Yeah, now that I've finished the campaign, I'm gonna go through some of the mods, and that's one of them. Have you played Star Shatter at all?
No.
Okay, that's a game you need to look at, and it's open source now.
Yeah, you can find it out on torrents and whatnot, where they have like a mod for it that improved the graphics tremendously.
Yeah, I think Hardlight.net. Let me take a look. Hardlight.net has the downloads and everything. Hang on.
Oh, is it a mod for? Recently?
No, it was a game that came out in the early 2000s. It's got fighter combat and cap ship combat.
Okay.
And with a dynamic Falcon-like campaign.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually quite excellent. And it went open source a couple of years ago because it was kind of abandoned by the developer. I'll put it in the chat here.
Yeah, they could have called it Millennium Falcon.
Oh, it looks pretty. It looks like they've got a planetary flight, too.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and you could be in different squadrons. You could be in a fighter squadron, and you could be in a bomber squadron. And then when you get promoted enough, you can take a destroyer, and then eventually you can be like the admiral.
Right.
Stuff. Okay. And they have multiple dynamic campaigns, and it's a hard game. But that's one that since you have kind of two of the features that has, you should look at that one. You should definitely look at that one. Actually, it reminds me, I should look at that one.
Yeah,
we
should all be looking at that one now. Yeah.
Oh, it's a great game. It's just I don't remember why it got abandoned by its.
I think Milo was just sick of it. He was just we're done.
So it was an indie project, and then.
It was an indie project.
Well, it really. It
he was distributed through who? It was Strategy First or something? Or was it Matrix? Yeah, it was Matrix. Okay.
Yeah.
So they released it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, and you can like download it all for free now. That reminds me, I should just fucking God darn it. Sorry.
Yeah. And it's got dynamic campaign engine. That's nice.
No, it's really great. You should definitely look at it for inspiration because it's really fantastic.
And no escort mission. Oh wait, it has escort missions.
Sure it does. But you know, what space game doesn't, I guess.
You gotta.
Sure. I mean, just about any space game does these days, right? Freaking escort missions. God.
Well, in my game, it's basically almost if you're not using the gym turret, it's impossible to shoot down any type of missile or torpedo. Basically, it's a complete luck shot if you manage it. So
you should be really happy about that, Jim.
Yeah.
The pickle cannon.
The pickle can, aka. Yeah,
you should make just a cap ship that's a giant pickle with turrets on it.
I smell DLC.
Yeah, you could mod it. I'll let you mod it. Yeah.
Okay.
You can add that. You could have a whole total pickle conversion. You know, where they're all pickles.
Total pickle conversion. I'm gonna quote you on that.
we have to get you and the what's that cupcake game, Jim?
Oh yeah, Galactose.
Galactose. We got to get you and the Galactose people together.
The Pie Fighters.
That'd be
Pie
the
Fighters
best
are the best. Have you seen Galactose?
I've heard of it. I think I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, it's like flying cupcakes. And
Yeah. and the mothership is like a giant turkey.
Yeah, maybe. My space game's too vanilla. I need to come up with something.
No, we're not saying that, obviously. But that'd be fun. That'd be just a funny mesh. Yeah. So you have no idea when this is coming out. You've been working on it for about a year.
Yeah, I'd like to have some sort of like a campaign demo in the summer.
Are you planning any kind of alpha funding or Kickstarter that we should keep an eye on?
I've thought about it, but I'm not sure yet how I want to do that. I think if I want to go the route of really nice graphics, like ship design and stuff like that, that might be a way to get that, I guess. So. And I know it's a good place to bring up profile, but I think for me with the Kickstarter, I want to have as close to a working project of all the things that I want in it before I try to sell it to the public. You know what I'm saying?
That's very fair, and that's good because people will definitely respond better if they can try it.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, if you have something that if you pay your $15 for the Kickstarter and you can get that, you know, beta or whatever, and it's
actually a fully functioning game, it's going to make you feel better about giving me your $15, you know? So that's kind of where I stand with that anyway.
No, that's totally fair.
But it will definitely be on, as you're playing on PC and I play it on the Mac, so it will be PC and Mac. And
very nice.
It's one of the things that I'm always sad about when I see I'm going to get a gaming PC soon so I can actually test this game a little bit more thoroughly. But, you know, when games come out that are awesome and I can't play them.
I mean, it's getting better, but yeah there needs to be more. No like question.
I really want to play Void Destroyer, and that's only on PC right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I was thinking there are some similarities between that game and your game. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, he's got a lot of RTS stuff that he's a brilliant, brilliant guy.
Yeah, he's great.
It's that radio show. I can't compare myself really to him. I think he's doing an amazing thing. So, but I think I'm not going to have a lot of the RTS stuff that he's putting in his. So,
right.
But yeah.
That's fine. So we've been talking a while. We should probably start wrapping this up.
Yeah.
So, well, folks, this is Space Warfare Infinite. It is currently in pre-alpha. So there's not like even a demo or anything that you can download yet, is there? I don't think there is.
Yeah, not right now, but
which is fine. But, you know, that's fine. You know, but we're trying to give people a taste of it. But yeah, it's a Unity-based game. Runs on PC and Mac. Big cap ship battles. Whoa! Big boom boom. I'm really digging it. I gotta say, I can't wait to see how the dynamic campaign comes together. I can't wait to see how the open universe, because that's like, those are like the creme de la creme of space games, if you have a privateer elite style game or a dynamic campaign. Because there, I mean, I can think of maybe two or three space games that have dynamic campaigns, and God, one of them is XCOM Interceptor, for Christ's sake. And well, who played that? I mean, nobody. I mean, except me. So,
I did for like 3 minutes.
Did you hate the joystick and just rage quit? Because that's why everyone rage quit.
Yeah, but I liked the way that it was stylized as like a chrome dashboard.
Well, it was keeping with the aesthetic of Apocalypse, that kind of neo Art Deco thing.
It was there was definitely like some boomerang shaped coffee tables going on in that game.
yes there were. So Mike, it has been a pleasure having you on. I am excited about this game, because it is, I gotta say, it hasn't crashed once.
Hey.
For pre alpha, that is, I mean, we ran into a couple of little glitches, but you know, pre alpha. You could actually probably watch this video and go, hey, I gotta fix that, and I gotta fix that.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, and I love listening to it, and it's awesome to be a part of it. So.
It's a pleasure, and your student Ben, and I'm not sure if some of these other people are your students, Florida sure. and not Starseer, sure. But Ben, you've been a champ. You've been a real trooper.
Yeah, good.
Thank you. Keep working on those games, man. Keep working on your snail game. I love that idea.
Yeah. Dude, and internet snail racing.
Yes.
Yeah, 300 bog.
You'd have to have time compression. You'd have to have time compression.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Hunter, welcome aboard. This has been.
Can you imagine can you imagine a game where it's like NASCAR, but it's snails on turtles? Right? So they're going fast.
I'd love for to snails. See like Discworlds.
Yeah.
Discworld turtles.
For snails, it would be like 300 miles an hour. Turn left. You know.
It'd be snail tactics.
So next week, folks, is our 100th show. Oh my God. So we're gonna do something. I'm not sure entirely what yet, but I'm working on it.
Turn down for what?
Wow. I'm sorry, I twerked a little when you did that.
Jesus Christ. And on that photo, that shit.
Hey, do you guys have like twerking at the school dance?
What?
Do you allow that?
Oh my God.
Is that like a thing now?
I don't think they have school dances anymore because of that. Yeah.
What?
that pretty much ended school dances.
Yeah, they just decided that's not a thing anymore.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, it's worked out.
School dances were like huge back in.
I know, man. I had some of my most awkward moments at the.
That's why they got rid of them. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't chaperone them, so I don't know. Maybe they still exist, but I don't hear about them. So
do you guys still do field trips?
Yeah, yeah, we do field trips every now and then. Yeah.
Do you want to give a shout out to your school before we go?
I don't know if he wants to be associated now that you know.
Well, said, all the kids at Game Club who watch this, you know, awesome. Thanks for tuning in. But I'm not going to say any names.
Okay, that's fair. But thanks for joining us, Mike. Jim Hunter, thanks for being awesome co-host. Folks, thank you for watching, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.